Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
All right, kids, grab the controller and just hit that triangle button as we start things up here on this Thursday edition of the Playmakers. Paul Eihander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is my sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
What is up, my dudes?
It is a very busy Thursday.
It is.
It is jam-packed. We're going to try to cram it all into 1 hour here, as we do have a NASCAR year-end special coming up for you at 4 o'clock, so stick around for that. It is a Thursday night football night.
And it's a good one, Paul. I actually support your degenerate just fandom and need to scratch the itch on your wealth growth.
There is that. There's also Tulsa college football game tonight, too. So,
not forget that.
Right. Well, the Golden Hurricane are playing.
Sorry. I apologize for that omission.
At 3:18, Nate Lundy, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour, will stop by. We'll hit him up on some fantasy football advice, as well as give you a preview of the weekend and perhaps tonight's game. I can't imagine that you wouldn't start, like, everybody tonight that you could.
That's literally what I wrote down in my question. Said, like, if there's anybody on the offensive side of the ball that you have or is available, go pick them up, because defense is optional tonight, my friends.
Straight up breathing.
Seahawks, Cardinals, just tossing dimes.
Yeah, that is in Seattle tonight, Thursday night football, and it's where we start our five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports, number one.
Well, it is a Thursday night. The over-under is 57 on tonight's game.
Holy cannoli, that's a lot of points.
That is a lot of points, and everyone's still saying take the over. Even on a Thursday night, take the over.
I usually don't like listening to everybody, but it's kind of hard not to lean that way for this type of matchup, considering the defense that's involved, mostly on the Seattle side. And we've seen a lot of greatness and a lot of big-time plays from the Cardinals. So it's just kind of like, all right. And Russell Wilson, I'm sure, is going to try to get things back on track for his offense. So points will be a drop-in.
Yeah, Russ will be cooking for sure. Chris Carson, though, not expected to play that, according to NFL Network. So we'll probably see Alex Collins and get in there. And Carlos Hyde will probably get some running, too. But really, it's about what everyone is considering the smoothness of Kyler Murray. I'm not quite sure where this has come from, but a lot of people are now starting to praise even more of the upside of Kyler, because he is being more creative and being more efficient at that creativity.
Yeah, and he is a slippery quarterback, and this is why he is special, Paul, because I don't know if you listened to all the draft experts before he was drafted, but everybody said he's too short. He's not the first person to get that label put upon him, but he's one of the first to really do it in the way that we're seeing him, you know, succeed. And it just, he breaks away from tackles. There's just less of him to pull down. So he's able, you know, to kind of skirt through and make big plays. And if you have somebody like DeAndre Hopkins as your security blanket, bring all your defenders, actually three of them. I will still win.
Remember the last time these two teams hooked up, it was on Sunday Night Football, where the Cardinals outlasted the Seahawks in overtime.
Instant classic.
37-34.
There was missed kicks.
We are expecting something similar again tonight. Seahawks, again, looking to rebound after last week's loss to the Rams, which was really a dud. And, of course, the Cardinals coming off the Hail Mary victory over Buffalo. Should be a good one tonight.
For sure.
Thursday Night Football finally going to deliver for us here.
Finally.
Tonight in the third week of November.
Excellent. Watch it.
Number
home.
Two.
Hello. Conor McGregor is back.
Conor, you say?
Second belt.
corner. Ding, ding.
UFC 257 is going to be the return of the former UFC lightweight and featherweight champion. It's a rematch. He'll take on Dustin Poirier. They fought earlier on social media, or at least said, you know what, we're good to go if we accept, if we make this happen. And the fight became official this morning, according to his own website.
Is this the one that's supposed to be in January?
Yes, the one in January. So the deal is, and you and I have talked about this before, Linz, they haven't figured out where they're going to do this yet.
Not on the island.
Not on the island, but they need to be in a place where they can actually put some people in the stands, because McGregor might be one of the few guys that will actually pull people out of the woodwork and make them pay a lot of money to do so.
This is true. But this fight is in January. Is UFC going to consider moving this fight? Because if it's not the climate for that, and we're well on our way where that's not a possibility, or optically, because we all know that they kind of do what they want, and that's fine, that's their business. But, like, do you think that UFC and Dana White would literally consider that? Because it is such a missed opportunity. How many fights does Conor have left? Do you want to waste it?
Yeah, this is a big ticket moment for UFC. Now, granted, they could charge $129
and
for pay-per-view.
And people will pay it.
And they'll buy it, but boy,
but it's not the same.
Right, it's not the
case. Does he perform the same? We're not saying that it's better or worse. It's just different. Do you really want to have the reps be, I'm not saying wasted, but for this fight at this time, when you have the ability and control to move that to whenever, wherever you want.
It was insane here in Vegas last January when he fought.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, people just came to watch him just pummel Dom Cerrone.
Right. And retirement doesn't exactly mean what it used to be, really, especially when we're talking about fighters. But as I said, we don't know how many we have left. And so let's cherish the ones that we have and make sure you can put on as best or as good a show as you possibly can. And so that might just mean change of plans. But I don't know. Maybe this still goes on. Because like you said, Paul, people will pay $120 to watch it.
Yeah. Even if it's for 40 seconds.
Right.
January 23rd, UFC 257. Conor McGregor is
ding,
back.
Ding.
Number three.
Maybe he'll do it in a proper 12 seconds.
Maybe.
Bad news for the Golden State Warriors, and certainly even worse news for Klay Thompson. Had been feared last night, where everyone kind of went, yeah, he landed awkwardly.
They said further testing is needed.
Yep. The testing showed that he has a right Achilles tendon tear. That is
brutal.
Game over for the next season for Klay. Apparently, the Golden State hierarchy, including head coach Steve Kerr, flew to Los Angeles today to kind of be with him and just go, hey.
He has to be devastated because he missed all of last season rehabbing that ACL tear in the other leg. And then, you know, the Warriors, while a bunch of people got injured, including Steph and Kevin Durant, who ended up leaving, but if they were all going to happen, they kind of all happened together. And it was, you know, we're going to run it back this year. We have the second overall pick. Like, we're going to pick Wiseman. He's going to bring in size and talent that this roster needs to kind of take it into its second act. And they're a top four team with Klay Thompson. They're going to have to fight tooth and nail for a playoff spot without him, because having two, him and Steph at the three-point shooter, danger that they are, and he's just as good of a shooter. Like, this is devastating for him personally, emotionally, and you know, it's a really big part of his career.
Yeah,
29-30, that's the peak, that's supposed to be the time.
Yeah, especially when you get paid too. And so for Thompson, he's gonna miss again yet another season. Hopefully he will come back. And the Phoenix Suns now thinking to themselves, man, that Chris Paul trade looks a lot better,
right?
Now that we're keeping up with the Joneses. So Golden State going to be without Klay Thompson, tore his right Achilles. And that is, he will have to be reborn again in the ocean. Maybe it's a Gulf of Mexico rebirth.
Yeah. Something no, the league is definitely going to miss him. And we've all heard the stories. Everybody loves playing with him and around him, even competitors. So it's a huge loss all the way around.
Yeah. We'll dig into this a little bit at 3:38, talking about coming back from injuries.
Number four.
All right, so it might be a little bit too little, too late, but at least there is a mid-season adjustment, what season there is left, of the Pac-12 conference, where this morning they have authorized all member schools to add non-conference opponents to their schedules as they keep losing games.
Someone! Anyone! Yeah. Is anybody available?
Utah hasn't even played a game yet. And we're three games into this short season for the Pac-12. Now, it had been thought, and they quashed that pretty quickly, that Colorado, who lost their game this week against Arizona State would rekindle their rivalry with Colorado State, who yesterday lost their game with UNLV.
Sure.
Colorado State, Colorado, it's the border war is what they call it.
Right.
It's a big game, usually kicks off the season. Well, you know, COVID kind of messed things up.
Sure.
Mountain West went to conference only, for the most part, and Pac-12 went conference only. Colorado came out today and said, oh, we have open dates with Colorado State? Nah, we good.
The pettiness knows no bounds.
Yeah. Pac-12 will have to host the game. So that's the big thing. It's kind of like the ACC plan where they're allowing non-conference, but they have to play.
Yeah, you got
to
come jump through our hoops, because then at least we've seen you perform with our hoops.
Right, and television rights too.
That as well.
Have a lot to
do with
it.
Slight importance.
So there is a thought, if Utah can get its stuff together,
sure,
that Utah BYU could be a thing still this season.
Hmm.
Might be a thing, but Utah, again, dealing with a lot more issues than BYU ever wants to. But BYU could also now find itself adding a Pac-12 dance partner, whether it's not Utah
they
or not.
They will take all of the additions to the resume right now, because right now it is flawless. That doesn't happen very often with that program, and, you know, it's an unprecedented season and maybe a real legitimate shot at the college football playoffs. So if they could shine up their schedule with a big time opponent like that from that conference, huge.
Yeah, the last two games for BYU are North Alabama.
Oh, that distinction. Thank you for making that.
Which is this Saturday.
The Northern Crimson Tide, you say.
The slightly off Crimson Tide.
Correct.
And then
it's a river then.
And San Diego State. And that's it. That's what they've got for the next 4 weeks, essentially.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can keep everything else clean where these games can go on and those opportunities can be taken advantage of, but we'll see.
Right. So a slight opening in the window for the Pac-12 to
and
see if they can get a few more games on their schedule.
Number five.
What is this? What are we singing? What is this music?
Go Cubs go.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was not raised in a Chicago household, Paul.
That's all right.
We didn't allow that type of profanity in my house.
You weren't that far north, though. So do you know Portillo's?
Yes, and now they've infiltrated Minneapolis, and we never hear anything about it. It's sacred, apparently. I've never been out of spite. Yes.
Fantastic.
Well, you know me, Paul. If everybody else is doing it, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it.
But you like hot dogs.
You are. I do.
Yeah, and you like...
I like them made by me, though.
And you like thick milkshakes.
I do. I do, indeed.
Portillo's has those.
That's great. So do other people.
They do. I know, like Culver's.
Yeah, correct.
Number five. Wrigley Field has been designated, that's why we played the song, has been designated as a National Historic Landmark, which means the ownership can get some federal tax credits for,
They need it, Paul.
Yeah.
Those sports team owners, they need the tax credits. They really do.
Well, Chris Bryant, you know, is pretty much a write-off on his own. You know, they brought him in, sell him, you know, paid him a truckload of money, the Vegas native.
Any corner they must cut, I understand.
Right, you know, they got to make sure they pay these guys.
Being very illuminated about the power structure that we all exist within, right?
Is it ironic that it comes a day after Theo Epstein says he's leaving?
I don't know, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest. It's just kind of weird. They're calling it an iconic national treasure, site of many legendary events. Well, they did add lights back in the 80s. They have the World
Series. It's a huge facelift.
They have the World Series. And yeah, they put that big giant scoreboard in left center field.
Yeah, they're going to have to go through all the red tape to make any changes.
Right. That's
what
this is
going to
do.
But I suppose the tax breaks are worth it. I hope. Maybe they didn't they lay off a bunch of people? Maybe they can hire them back now, Paul.
Yeah.
Now that they have more money in the pocket.
Everybody's laid off people, unfortunately. Even my Dodgers laid off people yesterday.
I know. So if they have more money in the pocket now, we could probably bring them. That's why they did it, right?
Well, they could probably do some more tours, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
There's that.
Huh.
Scoreboard's still there. And at some point, the Cubs say they're going to have a public celebration marking the status of National Historic Landmark. So it's a pretty play. I mean,
is this the first ballpark to earn this designation?
I believe so, yeah.
Because I'm like, the only other one that you could really think of that would be in the conversation is Fenway.
Yeah.
And I'm just not, based off of what I've seen happen in that ballpark, I just don't know if it's worthy. I don't know if it's clean enough.
Yeah. I forgot that. Not realize, but I forgot when Babe Ruth called his shot in the 1932 World Series, that was at Wrigley Field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I never really questioned where it happened. I just assumed that it happened either at Yankee or at Fenway.
Right, yeah.
Because he was on one of those two teams, yep. Or they were probably playing. That's where the big moments were.
Pointed.
Huh.
Yep. So... there you go. There you have it. I mean, I don't know. Do that with what you will. But if you're a Cubs fan or Chicago fan or just a baseball fan, just know that one of the places where they play will...
it's iconic.
Right. Will be considered a national
landmark. Distinction's important. The benefits that come with that, maybe not so much.
Sure. There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. Coming up next, we're going to dig into some fantasy football, give you a little preview of tonight's action and the weekend, especially as you set those lineups. Our good friend Nate Lundy stops by.
Y'all ready to kick it? Come on.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Rolling into another week of NFL football. We've got a big one tonight. A lot of solid matchups coming up over the weekend. So let's get rolling with some fantasy football ads and drops and advice with our good friend Nate Lundy, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour. They just filmed. You can find it streaming or also on your favorite regional sports networks. Guests on the Playmakers join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Nate, welcome back, friend. And tonight, the over-under's 57.
Exactly. We all look for those at the beginning of the week, don't we?
Yeah, we got to just start fast, and I think that's going to be what is going to be on the slate tonight because it was such a good matchup between Seattle and Arizona the first time through. What do you expect tonight besides, you know, points raining down upon all of us?
Yeah, I think we've got that opportunity, although I will throw this caveat in there. There's been a handful of times this year where we expected a high-scoring game and then we are pleasantly surprised. I think that this is going to be a good high-scoring game. You've obviously got Seattle, which is on pace to give up over 5,000 yards of offense over the course of the season, which is just insane. When you look at the kind of production that they're giving up defensively through the air, especially because they can't stop anybody. And so as much as Kyler Murray likes to be able to scramble around, likes to be able to use his legs, this is a team where if he wants to try to show off his arm, not just with the Hail Mary pass to D-Hop, but also to just show off that he can do it throughout the course of a 60-minute game, this is certainly his opportunity to do it because he's going up against a defense that will allow it. So I do think there's going to be a lot of scoring. I do think that this is a game that, Russell Wilson, I don't think he's lost three in a row, maybe in his career, but it's definitely been a long time since he's lost three in a row. So he's also got something to prove as they've lost back-to-back here going into tonight.
Interesting matchup coming up this Sunday between Cleveland and Philadelphia. Cleveland got bogged down by that storm, but still ended up getting a 6 win over Houston last week. And Philadelphia coming out just this afternoon saying that they're dealing with a COVID issue as well, which includes some of their wideouts. Is this a troubling play for fantasy football players, knowing that Cleveland could get up early, but Philly may not even be able to play from behind in this one?
Yeah, they may not have the weapons they need, Paul. You're right. And you also, from a fantasy perspective, we always run into that question of, do we wind up with some question marks that suddenly pushes this game to where maybe all of a sudden we have a Monday night doubleheader where they try to get the game in, but they recognize that they need some more time for test results to come in. So I think that's the other reason as a fantasy owner that you have to be concerned. As you said, the good news is it's not till this weekend. It's not like it's tonight's game where you've got to wonder who's going to play and who isn't. But I think that it is something as a fantasy owner you need to look around, pay attention to those bye weeks and who you're missing, but also recognize that what you might have thought was a good opportunity for you to try to play some of the weapons that exist for Philly, a guy like Miles Sanders, whatever, you may have to step back and wait to see what happens. And that's always nerve-wracking as an owner, especially when you're coming down to the wire early on Sunday morning.
Two teams that are definitely looking for some direction because they have big goals and big dreams on their horizon. The Titans and the Ravens are going to be facing off against one another. So who is going to win to stop the spin? And what does mostly Baltimore have to do to basically stop this streak and get some more confidence, especially with Lamar Jackson under center?
Well, I think what they need to be able to do is, I mean, first of all, we know that Lamar wants to run around. We know that he's not necessarily a guy that's going to throw for 300 yards, but I think he's got to find a way to be able to get the ball up in the air. He's got some very talented wide receivers. He's got a fantastic tight end. He's got options to be able to get the ball downfield, and he doesn't need to throw for 300 to open up this offense. I mean, he had 200 yards passing last week, had the touchdown. He also added 64 on the ground and a touchdown. And right now, from a fantasy perspective, Tennessee gives up the seventh most points to the quarterback position. Tennessee's defense has shown a lot of chinks in their armor so far this season. And I'd like to see Harbaugh and company set up some offensive plays for Jackson to try to take advantage of that. I mean, the Titans are giving up 287.3 yards through the air per game. That's fourth worst in the league. You can throw on this team. So as much as you like the dynamic ability of a Lamar Jackson, I want to see him do it through the air because Tennessee allows it.
Nate Lundy joining us here, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour. You can find it this weekend on your favorite regional sports network or a streaming service. Nate, just as the New Orleans Saints start to click, they lose Drew Brees. This is a really strange bit for a lot of players right now, especially offensively, when all the weapons are available on that New Orleans side. But we're going in with a question mark now that Jameis Winston's going to be under center.
Yeah, I agree with that, Paul, but here's what I'll tell you. If you're going to come in as Jameis Winston, he's got two things going for him. One, you know, there's a reason that, you know, even with the cracked ribs, that Drew Brees' jersey is always perfectly clean, like it just came out of the laundry. And that's because he's got a phenomenal offensive line. They build a pocket for him, and they can build that pocket for Jameis as well. Now, Winston has to make some smart decisions, and I want to see him do that, obviously, and he's got weapons to throw it to, but that pocket is going to exist for him. Then he's got another thing going for him, and that is, for crying out loud, it's the Falcons, and their defense is as bad as Seattle. So Winston has an opportunity to come in here, and in his first game that he's going to be asked to start, and obviously, you know, expected to be the guy over the course of the game, he's taking on a Falcons defense. Like, I mean, as bad as Seattle's secondary is, the Falcons are worse. So Jameis has weapons around him. He can have a clean pocket because New Orleans will give that to him, and I think he can find success. And he's also got a favorable schedule because he plays Atlanta this week. He also plays them again in 2 weeks. So if you're somebody dealing with buys or you're in a two quarterback league, I think you, frankly, as long as you can tolerate the fact that he's probably going to throw a pick, maybe two, I think he's also going to throw you a couple of touchdowns and he's going to get you some points. And in a two quarterback league, that's pretty solid.
We saw plenty of bulletin board material and petty smack talk before the entire defense of the Raiders was basically taken out by tracing for COVID this week. Do they have any chance against the Chiefs? Because they've given them plenty of reason to get up and get ready for this game. But I just don't know with all the disruption leading into the Sunday's matchup.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of disruption, but I will say this. You can run the ball on Kansas City, and Vegas has one of the best backs in the league. And so because of that, you know, regardless of what they do in the backfield, I think you can push the ball and you up against this Kansas City defensive front. So if they can do that, if they can keep the ball on the ground, if they can try to run some clock, you keep Mahomes off the field, I think they can find some success moving the ball up and down the field. If Vegas can do long, sustained drives, that's what they need. And it's not just about keeping Mahomes off the field. It's also about just getting that offense into rhythm, because I do think they're a team that gets into a rhythm. And when they do, I think Carr can find success. So I think they've got a chance. I mean, obviously, you've still got to slow down Mahomes, but part of that is just keeping up with him on the scoreboard. And I think Vegas can do that. You know, they may not win the game, but I think they're going to make it competitive. And I think that as long as you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, anything's possible.
Sometimes we forget that you can only score, you know, 6-7 points at one time.
I know. You wait for those old Rockin' Jock MTV things where, like, if you throw a touchdown from within the circle, it's worth double, right?
Exactly.
Nate Lundy joining us here. Join him on Twitter, at Nate Lundy. He's co-host of the regionally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour. Alex Smith in Washington, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I'm struggling to see if I want to play either of these quarterbacks this week, just knowing that either of them could slip just a bit. Burrow struggled, obviously, last week. And Smith, is he still trying to prove himself? Or is he a guy that, man, if you were able to pick him up, it was well worth the grab?
I think it was worth the grab. I'll say this. If you gave me my choice this weekend, Paul, between the two, I would probably lean towards Alex. And part of the reason for that, and I think this is actually happening on both sidelines, I'll be honest with you. I think Cincinnati is enjoying what they've got at Burrow. I think they're seeing what the future can be. I think in Alex Smith, you've got one of the best stories that we've seen in the NFL in a long time in terms of a comeback. And I think there's something to the emotional side of that and what it does to teammates and how it makes people rally. So as bad as the NFC East is, Washington right now is looking at things and saying, hey, we can win a couple of games here. We can get to the point where we've got a postseason game. And yeah, we may not go very far, but we're in a division that is so bad that all we need to do is string together a couple of games and pick up a couple of W's and try to put ourselves in a better position. And obviously, you know, Alex going for 390 last week is well on the way to doing that. Now, Washington still has some holes. Cincinnati's got some holes. This is a game to me that, you know, I find really intriguing. I know at the beginning of the segment, we talked about some of the matchups that are going on this weekend. There's some of them that I find really fascinating. And even though this one may not be two spotlight marquee teams, I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of us had it in our minds that we were going to consider Alex Smith as a fantasy option ever again. But another option that I want to ask you about that I don't think any of us had considered, at least in this year, Philip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers, who do you pick this week as they face off against one another? Because both are having stellar seasons. I think we just probably didn't expect one from Phil, at least to the level that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the thing about this matchup this weekend between those two is that, you know, Indianapolis right now is dealing with that three-headed monster that they've got at running back. Three different guys that they can find different ways to be able to use between Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Jordan Wilkins. And they can use all three of those guys. And not only that, but they can go with whatever the hot hand is. And to me, if we're talking about fantasy points, that's why I'm going to lean towards Aaron Rodgers in this one, just because I think that Rodgers is going to have to lean more on his arm, whereas Philip Rivers, yeah, he's put up some numbers for you, but he's also got a ground game and one that is very dynamic and one that keeps defenses on their heels. And to me, that means that you may see a little bit more on the ground and a little less out of the air from Philip this particular weekend. So in this particular matchup, I'd rather go with Aaron.
Fantasy players are going to have to stick around all the way until the end on Monday because we have a decent Monday night matchup with the Los Angeles Rams, who are streaking pretty hard right now, and Tampa Bay with all those offensive weapons. In terms of having to stick it out this far, you know, what's it going to come down to when it comes to decimal points between these two teams?
I think one of the things you got to look at, Paul, is who is it that you're leaning on in those rosters? So, for example, if you're a guy that is a Mike Evans owner, I'm probably looking for a better wide receiver option in Sunday's games than I am with Mike Evans, because Mike Evans is going to get the Jalen Ramsey treatment, and we know that he just did that to DK Metcalf and held him to two catches for 28 yards. That's just what Ramsey does. So I think it's one of those where you almost have to pick your battles and decide who it is within the match. In particular on Tampa's side, because we know they've got a lot of offensive weapons. If, like I said, if I'm a Mike Evans, there are better wide receiver options out there, or at least guys that I'm going to trust a little bit more. And I know it's hard sometimes to sit your studs, but it's about matchups, particularly at wide receiver. And Mike Evans is going to be stuck with Jalen Ramsey. So when you look at Monday night's game, you know, that's a name that I'm probably going to avoid, and I don't want to stick it out until Monday night. I want to go ahead and lean heavier on somebody on Sunday, maybe in a game that's expected to have some shootout appeal. We were just talking about the Packers and the Colts. We know that there's probably going to be points scored between New England and Houston. Same thing with the Titans and the Ravens that we talked about. That's going to have scoring in it, and there's going to be some wide receiver options that are not going to be in full lockdown mode. That's one of the things. You know, I know there are those people that say you can't sit your stud, and I completely disagree with that, because if your guy is up against a tough defense, you have got to be willing to bite the bullet and sit in on the bench.
And that's why you have Dalvin Cook on the bench for this weekend as they face off against the formidable Dallas Cowboys, right? He's not worth it.
I don't think Dallas could stop Dalvin Cook if he were still a freshman in high school.
Oh, high praise. High praise.
Hey, Lundy here with us, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour. Nate, before we let you go, there's an interesting prop bet that continues to move forward here in Las Vegas, and certainly I'm sure on the apps that you have there in your home state in Colorado, whether or not Pittsburgh can run the table at 16-0, or whether or not the Jets will lose their final seven games. If you had money to put down, which I know you do, and you're a betting man, which I know you are, is it more likely that Pittsburgh runs a table or the Jets remain winless?
Well, I'll tell you what, I actually think it's more likely that the Jets go winless just because they are an absolute rudderless ship with holes in the bottom and they're leaking, they're sinking. They are the Titanic right now and somebody's trying to use a Dixie cup to get the water out of the boat. I mean, they are just awful. That said, it also would not surprise me to see Pittsburgh slip up at some point because it does happen. You do have those games where somebody sneaks up on you. So if I had to pick between the two, I am more likely to put the money on the Jets to go over than I am for the Steelers to run the table.
Well, at least there's violins, right? On the way
down. Absolutely, you know. Yeah. You gotta have some good music while you're going down. But whatever it is the Jets are listening to, it ain't working.
You're right, Norm. Always are.
Find Nate Lundy on Twitter, NateLundy, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour. Nate, we appreciate the insight as always. Talk soon.
Enjoy the game tonight.
Nate Lundy, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour again. Find him on Twitter, NateLundy, as well as on your favorite regional sports network, the Fantasy Football Hour, which I know they taped today, as a matter of fact. So if they've got everything we know, everything you know, we kind of condensed it for you there in the past 10 minutes.
You're very talented, friends.
We tried, for sure. Guests on the Playmakers, join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com right now. The Seahawks are favored in the game. It's basically a home field advantage kind of game. It's just 3 points.
Yeah, and I still am kind of weirded out by that because I think Seattle definitely has a bigger hill to climb to, even though it is technically home field advantage. It means next to nothing this year, especially in that building, which is usually super loud.
Right. It'll be very, very quiet for sure. Correct. Coming up next, the road back from injury.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Thursday afternoon. We do have a NASCAR year-end special coming for you at 4 o'clock, so stick around for that. For those of you who are auto racing fanatics and those who enjoy turning left with...
Why do I keep forgetting to turn off my mic? This is like the third time in 2 days.
It lights up. Yours lights up still, right?
I know.
Does it still light up?
Yeah, it still lights up. I just like... I don't know. Maybe I forget. Usually I turn it on right away. Maybe sure. I'm out of the habit.
The clicker, yeah.
I started turning right. Now I forgot everything else.
Right. You turn right with like every known business, franchise, accountant plastered all over your clothing. That's pretty
right. But sometimes, even though turning right looks like the right move, your body says, no, I'm going to say we're going to take a break for a while.
Sure.
Yeah, no left turn, because guess what? That wheel is about to get blown out.
Right. Yeah, I know we haven't heard your plea in a long time about using blinkers.
I know.
The turn signal.
For the love of the Lord and everyone who likes to travel anywhere, please use your turn signal.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season.
Today we learned that the Golden State Warriors will be without Klay Thompson for a second straight season. For Klay, it's a... unfortunate injury on his way back from recovering from an injury to his other leg.
A more fortunate injury, which is a very unfortunate sentence right. to formulate.
So as Thompson goes back to rehab yet again, it's going to be an incredible struggle because he's going to have to do it a second time. And we've seen players and athletes and, you know, weekend warriors come back from injuries, you know, come back from knee scopes and, and you know, ankles and finger breaking and things like that. Some just pop them right back into place.
I tried that and then I ended up breaking the finger more.
Ow.
But sometimes it works.
Right. So, you know, like a guy like Gordon Hayward, who opted out today, $34 million opt out, but he came back from, you know, a serious injury. He broke his damn leg.
Yep.
You know, dislocated his ankle back in 2017, and now he's feeling himself. Obviously, he probably has a contract waiting for him somewhere.
Oh, 100%. You don't do that without having something else waiting in the wings. But you know, we've talked about Alex Smith today. You know, we've all seen catastrophic injuries. We most normally, you know, go to the pros, but we've all seen them ourselves, too, because you're right, Paul. We all play and we all kind of have this process of healing, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And those are two very separate distinctions as well. Don't you think?
You know, athletes are wired differently. We know this, especially the ones who make it to the actual professional level, play at that highest level, elites. You know, you have to have some sort of belief in yourself. But, you know, we've heard the stories about being in the bubble, guys dealing with depression. You know, Kevin, the story about Kevin Love today, who talked about suicide and having suicidal thoughts, you know, many years ago. And, you know, it still hurts him to think about that kind of stuff. And he is about mental health. There is that aspect of things when it comes back from injury. Can I do it? It's always about the first hit, the first swing, the first bucket, the first time you jump, depending on what kind of injury it is. Am I going to get hurt? That's one of those monster mental hurdles. For Clay to come back, and you know, he's just going through an open run practice yesterday, gets hurt while practicing, you know, there's got to be something in the back of your head. It's like, and I know he's going to come back, and his dad's out on Twitter
that
today.
That is so far away, though,
saying
Paul.
That, I know, saying that he wants to come back, but you look at that, you're like, damn, 17 months just erased in like milliseconds.
Oh no, they're not erased though, Paul, because those scars are there. And when you go through recovery processes like this, whether it's through a physical injury or taking time away because you're dealing with mental health, the lift and the energy that it commands to go through that grind every day to recover, and then, like I kind of alluded to earlier, to have all the hopes and dreams of a new basketball season, and considering what we've all kind of gone through this year and the Warriors.
Sure, it was something to look forward to.
Well, that, and it's just like, you don't think there are a few people that weren't necessarily Warriors fans that were saying maybe in the back, I kind of want to see the Warriors be good again, because you know when the Warriors were good? When the world was a much different place. And I'm sure that part of that weight he feels on his shoulders, just like any athlete or someone in the public eye would. They get paid handsomely. They get a lot of perks, but it doesn't come without a certain price. And the thing is, when it comes to injuries like this, this isn't something that you can say, well, we're going to push off the bill until the day it's due. So like when we come back and we're back on the court and we have to start trusting our body. So much pain and frustration and wanting to feel like you give up, maybe even giving up a little bit, and having, you know, one of your friends, your family kind of pick you up a little bit. Every single day, you have to do that so many times in that rehab process. And he's already been doing it.
Sure.
And now there's an unexpected turn, and he's doing it in this context. And the thing about getting injured, too, when you're an athlete, it doesn't, the severity matters. But the thing is, if you're off the court, you're off the court. And that's very isolating, because even if other people have been off the court too, they're still at, like, Steph and him aren't doing the same rehab. Steph and him don't live in the same house. You know, that's, it's so isolating. And so that alone creates such an insurmountable kind of amount of resistance. And now we're not even talking about the actual rehab and recovery and everything else. We're just talking about, how do I get up every day and want to keep fighting this battle? Because you have to commit to it, because your muscles will, and they atrophy, right?
Sure. Yeah, the muscle memory is always key coming back from injury. We saw Dak Prescott, too, who, you know, obviously was hurt. He's getting back on the horse. But again, it takes a special mindset to be able to do those things.
Speaking of mental health.
For Klay Thompson, he's got to do it twice.
Right. And not many people have suffered injuries this close together. That's, I mean, they're already such a special class of people, because just they don't really exist in much of the same reality that a lot of us do. But then it's just continual isolation. And he has a great support. A bunch of them flew down there to be with him, you know, last night and through today, and they will continue to do so. There's no better organization suited to, you know, help their player through this. But it's not like it's this automatic thing. Like, we're gonna show up how many months down the road and be like, oh yeah, it was like, it seems like yesterday Clay got hurt again, right? But it's just because our time is
right.
Going quick.
Yeah.
It's not like that. And honestly, there's really no amount of money in the world that is gonna be able to be paid to you that's going to prepare you or enable you to just do that scot-free. Because you have to go through the trauma. You have to put the scar tissue, put yourself through getting rid of the scar tissue. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to get back on the floor. You're going to get paid handsomely for it, but you still got to do it. And that's really, really hard.
Yeah, difficult road back for Klay Thompson, certainly for the Warriors organization as well, as he fights his way back from injury yet again. And we certainly wish him the best. Coming up next, making those sports memes with the family.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Thursday. NASCAR year-end special coming up here in just 12 minutes. Stick around for that as we revisit the entire year. The Busch family, Bubba Wallace, and, of course, Chase Elliott's run to the championship.
Drive to the championship, Paul. It's Stan Brand, please.
Right, he drove to the championship.
Thank you.
Interestingly enough. So, today, we learned that Tiger Woods' son also plays golf. I know, amazingly enough.
Shocking.
The PNC Championship in Orlando, Florida at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club. I've never played there, but I've seen it. It's beautiful.
I wonder if they have a snack bar.
Having lived there, I'm sure they do. Probably.
The Ritz-Carlton Golf Club, you think?
Yeah. It's probably some...
I'm glad to hear.
Foie gras on a stick.
Something like that.
Woods Tiger will play with his 11-year-old son, Charlie, in the tournament. This is not the first time they have allowed family members to play in said game. Fuzzy Zeller played with his daughter, Gretchen, once. Arnold Palmer played with his grandson, Sam Saunders.
Sure.
And also this year, Justin Thomas is going to play with his dad, who is a Kentucky club pro. So not quite.
Why? Because he still qualifies?
I guess.
Interesting.
But this is probably a pretty big moment for Tiger and his son because it's their first official tournament together. And I remember playing golf. And these are good memories. I mean, and for Tiger and Charlie, it's probably a little bit different because this is a little bit more competitive than...
A little pressure.
You know, than kind of how, you know, I remember playing with my dad and my grandfather at the same time when we were all together. And I was much younger. And my grandfather would just crack jokes and hit the ball and he'd just have a grand old time. Matter of fact, I still have his set of woods.
Really?
Yeah.
That's super cool for you.
And playing with my dad, you know, when you know, as a kid, you know, they got me interested in golf and I took a few lessons. They didn't stick. But you keep
going back to look for more, and that's really what the lesson wasn't it?
Going back. It got me through high school. That's, you know, it got me a couple letters in high school. But, you know, I remember just hanging out with my family and just having a good time, and you know, being able to have that moment, especially for Tiger, has got to be just, you know, it's got to be bittersweet for him, obviously, just knowing the backstory and then, you know, being able to have his son who, you know, we only see just kind of in snippets, you know, really. But now they get together and take a few photos together in, I'm not saying the family photos were never meaningful between the two, but this is kind of like,
this is the first of many. It's a passing of the torch.
Yeah, this is dad's profession. This is not, you know, this is like when your dad or your mom takes you to work.
Correct.
You know, it says, oh, hey, this is what I do. I'm the manager of this, or I sell this, or whatever it is. You know, this is like, take your kid to work.
This is a moment for 30 years from now. Knock on wood that they're both here to have that and share that now and in the future, because I don't know about you, Paul, but you know that it's special because everybody tells you, like, really cherish these moments with the fam, like, especially because I've had those golf rounds too where there's uncles, my grandpa's there, my dad's here, most of my dad's, because my family's, it's quite a quilt. But you don't know how good you have it until it's gone, but especially when it comes to like golfing and just kind of the in-betweens. It's not about the sport, it's about the pace and about sharing something that spans generations. And how many things exist in the world where you can have multiple generations of people, especially these days, where they genuinely like something or enjoy something? I'm not saying they're a fan of a specific golf or whatever, but I just like going outside and swinging the club and being in the general proximity of you all as well. That's rare.
It is.
And it's special.
It is. No, it's incredibly special.
Did you know how special that was, like, when you were playing?
Not at all. But I can picture, you know, my dad always wore a polo. I mean, I can see this in my head right now.
Oh, yeah.
My grandfather always wore, like, this light blue kind of pullover sweater, and he always had a collar. No matter what, he always had a collar on. And my dad would wear this kind of larger kind of windbreaker without the zipper, kind of like a softball coach jacket kind of thing. And he would always play in that.
Right.
And, you know, my grandfather would probably be smoking a stogie as he rolled around the course, and they would let me drive the cart every once in a while
when I begged, a huge deal when you're a kid. The hugest of deals.
To ride the cart. Otherwise,
you think you're the coolest kid on the block.
Otherwise, I had to sit in the middle.
Yeah,
you know, because
that's
the worst. Yeah, it was the three of us going out. You know, they'd throw my clubs, and I didn't have, you know.
And you're sitting with guys, so it's not like everybody's like, all right, let's contain ourselves really nice and small. Nope.
Right.
Knees out.
But, you know, hey, 3, 5, 7, and 9. That's what I had. I had a putter, a, you know, driver, and a, you know, a middle wood. It was, I think I always played with a 4-wood when I was a kid.
Right.
I always had to play with a 4-wood. But I always remember it afterwards, too. And I think you know, Tiger and Charlie, I don't know whatever they're going to do, if they'll hot chocolate or just go back home and watch, you know, rewatch their swing in slow motion to analyze it. Whatever memory they try
to
make.
I hope that Charlie's like that so he can shit. Because if it's not, that has to be a really hard, like, compromise to make. Because Tiger's wired a very certain way.
Sure.
And we all know that kids are wired the way that they are, but they're going to do what they want to do. And I'm sure everything is cool, but this is such a... A lot can go wrong in this situation.
Oh, for sure.
So if most of it goes right and he's able to kind of, they have a good relationship and able to kind of grow through this, that says a lot about Tiger as a father. But it also just says a lot about the father-child dynamic, especially when it comes to playing sport. There's something to it. That's where most of my memories are tied up with all the men I have in my life. Right? I mean, that's where you learn the lessons, because Not all of us are the type of people, all right, we're going to sit down and talk about feelings.
Sure.
This is how you do it.
Yeah, we always would sit down at the 19th hole.
Sure.
And I would always have...
I
would have a graveyard. Pepsi, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, all the things on the fountain, little squeezer.
Sure.
They just put it in
garbage.
A plastic cup. That's what I would have. And my grandfather would probably have a brandy or something.
Shirley Temple's for me. I'll be at the table right next to you. That's the thing. We're all at the same metaphorical 19th hole and course and whatever.
Right.
But these are the fabric that everybody kind of shares with one another.
So Tiger and Charlie going to play golf.
Wonder if Sam does. She's probably too busy.
Right.
She's probably better at something else.
Other endeavors for sure.
Yeah, correct.
For Mark Binney to make things sound nice, she's Lindsay Brown. I'm Paul Eihander. NASCAR year-end special is on the way. And that's a wrap on the Playmakers for Thursday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.